No, it's probably good. No, I'm sure. Okay. Oh, brother, where art thou? As soon as my parents could no longer see us, my younger brother Paul took off like a rocket on his one-speed bike. He left me and five other siblings behind as we climbed a hilly, winding road in Wisconsin's Peninsula State Park. We were on our first and only camping vacation as a family, and my parents let us run bikes for a few hours. Paul, who didn't do much of anything fast at home, pumped his husky 10-year-old legs faster and faster, becoming smaller and smaller as he crested the hill, merging with the clouds and sky as if he'd taken flight like the kids in E.T. Our older sister shouted, "Paul! Paul! Slow down!" Their calls echoing one another, the increasing pitch of their voices bouncing off the asphalt and the trees acres deep on both sides of the road. The ride that day didn't end well. Paul took a nasty tumble and was rushed with our mother by ambulance to a hospital in Milwaukee. The rest of us followed in the Winnebago my parents had rented for the trip. I later learned Paul had been racing down the middle of the curving road, arms and legs outstretched away from the bike frame, fingers spread wide, feet flexed, mouth open, drinking in the wind, when a horn blast startled him. A car was barreling up the road in front of him. He'd heard another coming from behind. Grabbing the handlebars, he brought his feet to the pedals and tried to steer the speeding bike to the road's shoulder, but skidded and was thrown, his head catching the asphalt's edge before rolling into the ditch. Miraculously, he wound up with only scrapes, bruises, and a mild concussion. No cracked skull, no broken bones. "Why'd you do that?" I asked him the next day when we visited him in the hospital. "I wanted to know what it feels like to fly," he said. I looked at him like he was daft. At 12, I didn't understand his desire to soar among the clouds. Despite being 2 years apart, I'd never felt particularly close to Paul. He was a boy's boy who did things like pee his name into freshly fallen snow, get into schoolyard fights, not do his homework, and borrow my father's tools to build things without asking, mind you. More proof that he was dim-witted, if not crazy. My other siblings and I had learned early not to touch our father's tools, or any of his possessions for that matter, unless we wanted a beating. In his early teens, Paul's romance with speed and flying shifted from taking actual flight to pot, hallucinogens, and alcohol. His interest in mind-altering substances increased the distance between us. "Come on, Ag, you've got to try this. It's so good," he implored one day, reeking of pot and wagging a spoon slathered with gooey marshmallow and Hershey syrup from side to side in front of his mouth. "Don't be such a goody-goody. Just try this," he said, his voice edged with contempt. For me, smoking pot had been anything but an ecstatic flight. Weed unleashed nightmare images of Dracula stepping out of our black and white TV onto the streets of our Southside Chicago neighborhood, where I roamed with frenemies after dark, avoiding the tensions and unpredictable terrors of home life. I stuck with nicotine and kept my wits about me, my feet firmly planted on the earth. Other days, when Paul was less high, he wanted to talk with me about the out-of-body experiences he'd been having, along with white magic and other occult subjects he was exploring. "I want to talk about these things," I said. I'd grown more uncomfortable around him. I could see he was troubled, but I didn't know how to help him or give him what he needed. My parents tried to intervene. One day, they asked him what was going on. "Oh, what do you mean?" he countered. He wasn't used to anyone noticing when he was high as a kite. "You're acting funny, like you might be on something," my father said in an uncharacteristically gentle way, as if taking a soft tack would coax truth out of him. No, I'm fine, really, maybe a little tired and hungry. "Definitely hungry," he said. "You'd tell us if you were taking anything, wouldn't you, Paul?" my mom asked. Sure, of course I would. You don't have to worry about any of that," he said, sucking in his cheeks and licking his lips. "Okay, good. Well, go wash your hands and get ready for dinner." My mother looked down at the floor while my father examined his lap. I was standing between the living room and the kitchen watching this absurdity. I wanted to scream, He's fucking stoned. Can't you see that? Today's no different than any other day. Are you fucking blind and stupid? Instead, my eyes bulged and cheeks and jaws clenched. My parents continued to be role models for denial about abuse, whether substances or behavior, starting with their own. Paul went to an arts high school in downtown Chicago. It was the right place for him creatively, but not temperamentally. He had fewer checks on his substance use and not enough sobriety, discipline, or support at home to finish projects he started. Still, he had a gifted eye for photography, an art he pursued in college, although he never completed his degree. Barely getting by with part-time retail jobs, he managed to practice photography throughout his adulthood. He could photograph just about anything well, but his nature photography, particularly his sky and cloudscapes, were where his brilliance shone. He captured a range of cloud types and formations at different times of day and different seasons, timing the shutter click just to capture the light just so, enhancing either a scene's drama or its subtlety. His timing equally deft as he rendered dusk and evening skies rent by lightning or the lifting wings of seagulls in flight over Lake Michigan. I used to think he chased light and cloud formations for their interesting shapes and textures until I realized how superficial and two-dimensional my thinking about was about his work. Like a lightning bolt Paul captured, I began to see how his images revealed a desire to be the cloud's ever-changing formations, the gull's loft, the flash of lightning, the ray of light, free of the earth, free to be both movement in the sky and the vastness beyond its blue dome. Even in images of the earthbound lakeshore, he trained the viewer's eye like his own on the sky and invited us to contemplate with him the mystery and beauty that lies just beyond what the naked eye sees, what it feels like to fly. Our adult relationship waxed and waned with his sobriety. I didn't know how to access compassion for his suffering without enabling his addictions. Admiring his sensitivity and art without calling out his self-destructive substance use felt like the very same denial my parents acted on when his cravings first found purchase in his body-mind as a teenager. On a late October day in 2015, a massive heart attack felled my then 52-year-old brother, ending his life in minutes, and likely, mercifully, with very little pain. Sorrow flooded me, along with regret for not being a better sister, for my inability to be a bridge for him to sobriety and health, for all the missed opportunities to share our common love of the natural world, our passion for creating art through images and text. Several weeks later, I flew out to the Santa Cruz Mountains for a work event. The conference center where the event was held had been engulfed in torrential rain and fog for days. The afternoon the rain stopped, the clouds began to lift and part, letting sun through for the first time since I'd arrived. As the lowering sun burned off fog, the sky looked like something out of a Maxfield Parrish painting. Its beauty slowed my breath. Paul would have loved this sky, these clouds, this light, I thought, feeling with love and gratitude for my brother, appreciating how he taught me to see beyond the clouds' myriad formations to something ineffable, yet no less real. The late afternoon light changed quickly as the clouds morphed into the shape of a right hand, index finger and thumb touching, middle ring and pinky pointing up. I blinked several times. Were my eyes playing tricks on me? The formation remained and I smiled inwardly, told Paul I loved him, and thanked him for letting me know he was okay. Thank you, Aggie. Next, we have